A Saturday tradition. The Sports Corner on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Good morning to everyone in Southeast Louisiana. It's the Sports Corner, as always, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We've got a busy show coming your way because we've got the ending of the high school football regular season, which means the postseason is right around the corner. In about, two or three minutes, we're going to have Thibodeau football coach Chris Duga on the line to talk to us about his Tigers, who punched their ticket into the postseason. So we're going to have Coach Duga on in this segment to talk about that win last night over South Lafourche. In the next segment, we'll also have Gary Hill, the Terrebonne football coach, on the show to talk about his team, which is going to be going to the Class 5A state playoffs. So kudos to Coach Hill and the Tigers. Then at 10 o'clock, we're going to do a little number crunching. We've got some updated power rating figures. We'll let you know who's in, who's out, and who's in between right now in the Louisiana State football playoff chase. Then at 10:15, South Lafourche football coach B.J. Young will be on the line to talk to us about a Tarpon football season that doesn't look like it's going to end in postseason. We'll talk to Coach Young about everything that went on down the bayou. Then in the second hour of the show, the Saints have made an interesting decision. They're not going to be starting Jameis Winston like everybody thought they would. They're going to be starting Taysom Hill. Stan and I are going to contemplate that decision with a big matchup against the Falcons looming. And then we'll make our picks at the tail end of the show. Gentlemen in the studio, do we have Coach Chris Duga on the phone lines? Not sure if we have Coach Dugov anyway. They'll let us know whenever we do. Stan, how are you doing this morning, man? We've finally gotten through a wild and crazy high school football regular season.
Doing well. to say we got through it, we sure got through it, but we got through it with a little limp there right at the end.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks have been really interesting. But I am glad that we kind of forged through things and we got things done. It's going to be interesting to see how the playoffs sort of shake out, Casey, because you have teams that are still in COVID-related situations going into the playoffs. Do they bump out and they bump teams up? Do they just get into the bracket and they have to forfeit? So I don't think we're at the end of wondering how this is all going to happen. And you actually sent me a nice note last night related to if you really want to and you didn't make a 32-team bracket or a 16-team bracket, you can still play a bowl game. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out this upcoming week.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Curious to see how the teams match up and how everything goes down. So let's go to the phone lines now. We have Thibodeau High School football coach Chris Duga on the line. Coach Duga, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. Look, your football team came down the bayou last night, a game that we called on the network, a little bit shorthanded, but it didn't look it. You guys played lights out from start to finish and got a big road win. Talk about the way you guys played.
Yeah, we were faced with a little bit of adversity this week. We really got hit with the contact tracing from students with COVID this week. It was kind of the first time we got hit losing guys that weren't able to play Friday night, and obviously with Luke and Ferrante out, that's two big pieces of the puzzle right there for us. But I think our sophomore quarterback stepped in and did a pretty good job. Ian did a great job last night, led the team well. And, of course, defensively, we played really well. Our defensive line has been pretty consistent all year long. And they were able to control the line of scrimmage, and we got a few turnovers. And, basically that was the difference in the game.
Obviously, with that win last night, you're in, or unless something crazy happens along the way. Is there a chance that Alamo and Ferrante are back? How does that all work?
They're 2 weeks, so they won't be back. We'd have to win a playoff game to actually get those guys back, so they won't be with us this week. But we are getting a couple of guys back who, from the week before, were contact traced for a different case, so we'll get a couple of defensive guys back that were missing last night, a starting corner and an outside linebacker. So that'll help our case a little bit on defense, but unfortunately we won't have Luke or Ferrante back this week.
Coach, a lot of the talk about your defensive line revolves around Buxton, and rightfully so. He played beautifully last night. But you've got some other guys up there as well that are eating up space and, you know, making things happen, and your linebackers are shooting those gaps. Your entire front seven last night was absolutely lights out. And as you said a minute ago, quite frankly, was the difference in the game. You guys would bend a little bit. They had the ball deep in your territory a couple of times, but never broke. Talk about the way those guys played.
Yeah, I mean, front seven was really good. You know, Malik Burrell, when he picks off the screen last night, I think that was a play that really changed the game for us when, you know, he's rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling, you know, 290 pounds going 50 yards. And look, we joke about this all the time. He leads the team in interceptions. I mean, he picked off a couple of screens this year, did it against Terrebonne. So it's kind of crazy, you know, that you got a nose tackle that leads the team in interceptions. But he's pretty good at reading screens, and he's done that a couple of times this year. And I think that was a huge play in the game. Also, you know, the play right before the half where we stopped him at the goal line on a quarterback sneak. I mean, that was a big game changer, because if it's 13-7 at the half, it might be a different ball game in the second half. So, that was a really big play at the end of the half also.
Let's talk the quarterback position. Did you always know that Ian Rodrigue was going to move to quarterback when Alomar did move on, or was this something because of the situation of Alomar being out because of contact tracing? You just said, I'm going to get an athlete back there this week, because I think you did find your quarterback for the future.
No, Ian's always been, our future quarterback. You know, I mean, when we lose a great one with Luke, I think we're going to move on to another great one with Ian. And, he's kind of been our backup quarterback all year. We hadn't really played him a lot in games at quarterback, just a couple of snaps here and there. We really hadn't had a situation where a game has gotten out of hand, but we take Luke out. And Luke's gotten banged a few times where Ian's gotten into some games at desperate hand and stuff like that. So, we know who our quarterback is of the future. And, man, he reminds me a lot of Peyton Bowman. He's got a lot of Peyton Bowman. I'm just tough, tough, tough. Can run the football, but, I mean, he can throw it pretty well, too. We didn't put it in the air a lot last night, but I think Ian's going to be an excellent passer also. Growing as a quarterback, and he's going to be another good one for us for the next 2 years.
Coach, you guys are currently sitting at number 30, going to make the postseason, but can't help but to notice Airline is just 1/100th of a point away from you. Have you done the numbers to crunch, see if do they have any scheduled opponents? I know you guys got Bourgeois today. Like, have you kind of figured out who you may or may not be playing next week?
Well, everything depends on what happens with the Bourgeois-Shaw game, basically. If Bourgeois wins, we'll stay ahead of Airline, and we'll end up with Zachary. If Bourgeois loses today, we'll end up with John Arrett. So it's pretty much Airline doesn't have any opponents left. They're not going to change. But we can change with the Bourgeois game, and it's going to make a difference in us either going to Zachary or Arrett.
I did notice, Chris, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but you would know it probably before Casey and I would. I did notice that Dutchtown is sitting there and possibly could host a home game, but because of a COVID-related situation that actually affected Ellendale Memorial this past week, they had to miss this last game. Is it a situation where a team, if they fall inside of the top 32, they get put in the bracket, and if they can't play, that'll be a forfeit? Or is there a bumping down that maybe a team that's sitting at 34 right now or 33 or 35 can move up into the bracket?
Well, I think what happens is, before the brackets come out, if you have a COVID situation and you know you're not going to be able to participate, you do what they call opting out of the playoffs. So there may be some teams – and have an issue. I don't know what's going to happen with East St. John, too, actually, because they're going to be right on that window, on that 14-day window, because it happened on the Friday that they were leaving to get on the bus to go play Terrebonne. So I don't know if they're going to be able to participate. So that may be another team. So there may be some teams in the top 32, from 5A all the way down to 1A and all of the private divisions also that may have an issue and may have to opt out of the playoffs. Now, once the bracket is set on Sunday, then it becomes forfeit. So I think before the bracket is actually set, You can have opt-outs that may not be able to participate due to a quarantine issue. And then from there, there's going to be some bumping up. And then once the brackets are set on Sunday, though, that's it. You know, there's no changes after the Sunday.
Very, very interesting. And, Coach, still going to be limited next Friday, but you say you're going to be getting some guys back defensively. How, you know, you're going to be playing regardless, one of the top teams in the state of Louisiana. How do you, you know, kind of push past those challenges and keep the guys going forward to try to, you know, score the huge upset?
Well, I look at it like this. You know, it's kind of been a tale of two seasons for us. We started out the season 1-3. And I kind of told the guys after the Hornville game, I said, now, you know, we get into a situation in our schedule where our last four games, if we want to get in, guys, we got to go 3-1. We got to flip it completely. And, you know, we talked about that a lot, and we were able to do that. And I kind of look at it this way. You know, I would rather start slow and finish hot than start hot and finish slow. So I think we're in a good place right now. I kind of think we're more like in a week four type mode. The way I look at the season, I look at the first two games as maybe a spring type deal, and then the next two games, you may be looking at scrimmage jamboree type deal, and then now you're kind of getting to where in a normal year, you'd be in that that mode where you're getting ready to start your district schedule. And I think we're kind of getting hot at the right time. So, like I said, I would rather you know, start slow and finish fast than the other way around.
You talked about starting 1-3 and then sort of flipping the switch and things started to work. Was there a particular moment, an aha moment in your mind where you thought, hey, I think we're getting this? Or was it just sort of a maturation process over the last four, three games?
I think it's a maturation process for us because if you look at us last night, we were traveling with 18 years last night. And, you know, there's a lot of sophomores out there on the field for us, a lot of sophomores, a good bit of juniors. So it's a pretty young team. So you can see how we're getting better every week and we're improving every week. And, you know, and like you said, I think maturation is a big part of it. I think the kids are getting comfortable out there. They're starting to figure some things out. The practices were great this week. It was upbeat. It was very spirited. I think our practices are getting better. So, I kind of think we're in that mid-season form now to where we, you know, in a normal year where we're starting to get it a little bit, we're starting to figure some things out, and we're playing a lot better.
Well, Coach, look, man, we thank you so much for the time. Thanks for, you know, coming down the bye and allowing those boys to senior night again. And best of luck to you all in week one of the postseason.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That is Thibodeau football coach Chris Duga doing a great job leading his team into the postseason. Stan, I had a couple of thoughts last night watching them play. A, they were lights out defensively. I don't know how anybody moved the ball on them this season. So my first thought was, man, those River offenses that are actually scoring on these guys must be incredible. Second thought was H.L. Bourgeois, who, God bless them, they're 2-5. They win today. I don't know if they're still going to make it. Even if they win today, it would be awfully close. They're really improved because they played Thibodeau at full strength and had that game won a couple of times. So that was my thoughts as well. Man, how much better did those guys get to be playing a full-strength Thibodeau team and push them to the wire on the road? That 5A district locally, man, there is truly no more easy outs.
No, I would venture to say Central LaFouche being so young this year, that was sort of that team and that district that you knew when you went out on Friday night you could probably still make a few mistakes and win it just because Central – it is growing now. And same situation with Morgan City High School in 4A football in our local district. Beyond that, I agree with you. H.L. Bourgeois has come a long ways. And maybe with a win against Shaw today, they play at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe they get enough. I doubt it. They'll probably be on the outside still. But they've come certainly a long way. I agree totally with what Coach Duga said. I would much rather be sort of hot at the end of the year than early in the year. And the other thing is I realize Zachary is a really good football team and Arid is a really good football team. But if things happen right for you in 5A football, I just believe, and listen, it's not like Thibodeau is going to have to pick up and go to West Monroe or, you know, obviously Arid is just right up there up the road and Zachary's not too far. Again, great program. But if you're playing really well at this time of the year And maybe you found something in Rodrigue at quarterback a little bit, certainly not taking away anything from Alomar. Maybe you just get rejuvenated a little bit because you are playing good football. And, boy, to think that it was an overtime win over HL Bourgeois that even allowed them to get to this point, that's really amazing because last year we would have never thought that about HL Bourgeois.
No doubt about that. So let's catch a quick commercial break from one coach in the 5A playoffs to another. We'll have Gary Hill on the line. His team is comfortably in. We'll talk to Gary about his seeding and his bye week and some of the things that the Tigers are going to be looking to polish up before the start of the playoffs. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Great year-end savings start now. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature and humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Updated power ranking numbers will be coming in the next segment of the show. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute here on ESPN 100.3. But one guy who doesn't have to worry about the numbers too much is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. He's on the line. He knows his Tigers are in the postseason. Coach Hill, good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing fine, brother. Your team had a bye week before postseason, had an opportunity to play a game, then got postponed, and then had opportunity to maybe find the game, and then finally opted against playing, what went into that decision, and then what did you guys get done on the bye week?
Oh, well, you know, we actually wanted to play, and we had kind of talked to a couple teams, and we thought we had found a game with Slidell, but then late Monday afternoon, you know, North Shore decided that they could go ahead and play that game, and Slidell had to honor that contract. And then at that time, we talked to New Iberia, and there was just some logistics of maybe having to play back-to-back possibly due to, you know, looking at the PowerPoints and stuff like that. We elected to kind of avoid playing that game, and we just made a couple other phone calls and couldn't put anything together to play a game. So we decided Monday afternoon about 6 o'clock that we would just take the bye week and spend some time practicing and trying to get back to basics and fundamentals and focus on a few of the things that we wanted to fix going into the playoffs. And hopefully we'll get to play those games, and hopefully the practice time we spend in will show, and we'll have a great first round.
Can you sit down and really look at the PowerPoint rankings this morning, or even going into tomorrow, and make a valid assessment of who you're going to play? Because it's so congested up there. I realize with you guys being right around 20, it would be maybe a New Iberia. So that was actually a smart move. I would have hate to have seen y'all play New Iberia last night and then have to play them again. But New Iberia is certainly an option. Ruston, Dutchtown, teams like that. Do y'all have any inside scoop of maybe that it's a probability of one of those teams more than the other?
If I had to guess, I would say EA playing Sanama today will make us drop another spot, and that would put us at 21. And I would see us going to Dutchtown at that point. But, you know, there's a couple of other games out there. I know we got Bourgeois playing today against Shaw, and there's a couple of Catholic League games. And the bad thing is it's tracking down on who played who and who was off and who missed this and that. It makes it really tough to kind of sit down and finagle where you're going to end up. But there's also a lot of teams that didn't play this past week that either couldn't find a game like us or elected not to play across the state in 5A alone. So, you know, Dutchtown was off, and so was Ruston and Alexandria and us and Southside. And there's just a bunch of games that didn't play that are already in the top 32. Mandeville to be another one. And I don't think Ponchatoula played last night. So, you know, there's a lot of differences in that. And the way the PowerPoint system works this year on taking your wins by the amount of games you played and then doing the strengths fact, you know, adding that factor of 10, it changes. You know, you're not only getting 2 points anymore. You might get 2.5, or that might become 4, just depending on how many games were played by the teams that got to play. And it's kind of a up in the air thing. And then you got the opt-outs, you know, because I think teams had till the day to put in that they couldn't play due to COVID issues or opting out, and that they're going to move teams in. So you really don't know what's what until you find out all the information, and that won't get released till tomorrow.
And the good news for you guys, Coach, is that you know you're going to be on the road. But as Stan was saying a minute ago, the difference between 11 and 20 in 5A really isn't a whole lot. Like, you guys are going to be matching up with somebody on the road, but if you look at the numbers, there's not going to be a lot separating you guys on paper. It should be a fairly evenly matched ball game. Just talk about some of the things that you guys are going to be trying to fine-tune here before that first round to go try to steal the upset.
Well, you know, we definitely had a lot of young kids that were having to play due to injuries and things like that. And hopefully we'll get some of those injured kids back to where we got a little more experience on the field. But we spent a lot of time trying to get our young kids to take better steps in the blocking schemes and to try and keep their pads lower and be able to get some more leverage and hopefully get a little more push or, you know, staying low, attacking their gap, being gap fundamental, you know, doing the right things there and then tackling and just primarily execution of what we do against each other this week is what we did for our 3 days, because we ended up giving them Thursday and Friday off to go with Saturday and Sunday to hopefully, you know, give them a couple more days for their bodies to heal up, get fully rested, and be at maximum speed come Monday as we start to prepare for, you know, the Friday game, hopefully. And that's one of the things that we decided we wanted to do was go out and clean up some of the little things and spend some extra time with the guys that are younger having to be on the field. And I think it's going to pay off for us, not just right now, but, you know, for the later years as far as what it actually means to do all those little things. And if we can get an opponent that's a good draw for us, then, you know, we hopefully will have a great game.
Listen, it looks like at worst it's 21, but possibly even being in the teens, a very young team that you have, especially at the skill positions. When you look back at it, having the opportunity to reflect the last couple of weeks, the single most pleasant surprise of the Terrebonne Tigers this year for you has been what?
That's a tough one. That's tough because, you know.
That's why they pay me the big bucks, Gary.
Well, you definitely probably make a few more pennies than I do. But I would say, you know, one of the good surprises for us was just, you know, the way that we were able to play a couple of games and bounce back after, you know, having some disheartening things happen to us and handles that expectation of, you know, hey, it's Terrebonne, you're going to do this. And then we kind of got, you know, the wheels came off when we went to Destrehan and got beat around, and the young kids found out what it was like to have to play a Friday night in this district, and then you worry about where you come back. And just the way we played the next game was definitely a pleasant surprise for us to see that we had a little mental toughness and a little gumption and, you know, able to kind of overcome such poor play with a lot better play going into that next week and playing Bourgeois the way we did. And then it kind of gets reaffirmed by the way they bounced back and played Thibodeau. You know, so it was like, wow, we really did play good that game. It wasn't just a certain thing that happened here or there, but that was pleasant for us. But I'd say our young kids, you know, kind of fighting through, getting humbled a little bit and deciding that it's time to go to work and get better every day. And just their attitude since that event's been a lot better, and they're putting in the time to, you know, increase their ability for their future.
Coach, I know you said you guys, you know, made efforts to try to schedule a game, but in the back of your mind, was there ever a thought of, okay, well, if we don't play, then that means we're not going to be exposed to another team who may then have a guy who tests positive, who may contact trace half of our roster? Was in that in the back of your mind the thought of, hey, we're also not exposing ourselves by not playing?
Well, it was definitely a consideration. You know, it was from the start. It wasn't really even in the back of our minds. It was, is it going to be worth playing? And then at that point, it became, well, okay, if we can get some quality opponent in here that's been pretty safe and hadn't had anything happen, that's, you know, going to be another test for us to get ready, then, yeah, it's worth that risk. But, you know, it's not worth the risk if we're not going to be able to put a quality opponent on the field and challenge ourselves and do those type of things. That was always in question. And that was one of the things that made us kind of just, you know, you have to have trust in who you play and who your opponent's going to be. And there were so many things going on that Monday that you were hearing this school was being closed and this school was going virtual. And, you know, you had, I think that was the day Thibodeau had some contact tracing going on, and we were wondering if they were going to play. And it was kind of up in the air all over the place. And then I think South Terrebonne canceled on Wednesday, and there was actually a thought about maybe playing each other again at that point. But, you know, we kind of went away from that as well, and they found another opponent as well. So it just kind of worked out in the end, and you know, we're going to end up right where we were kind of left off 2 weeks ago. You know, so if you move a spot one way or the other, it was going to happen anyway if you played. So it was probably the best thing to do for our program and spend a little more time practicing, trying to get ready.
You know, as I look at the numbers, sitting at 20 right now, of course, things might happen this afternoon because there are some games, as you mentioned earlier. But you're really not far from catching Southside or Hornville, for that matter, and moving up well into the teens. And I can't help but think that if South Terrebonne plays last night against Ellender, that obviously would have been a competitive game. As a matter of fact, Sal Terrebonne's won that one like 21 of the last 22 years. And you played Sal Terrebonne and didn't play Ellender, so it wouldn't have been a wash for you. It would have been a positive thing for you if Sal Terrebonne would have played last night. And, you know, all of those things sort of play into this where it's, once you almost take two steps forward and then you take a step back because you're trying to rationalize this or that. And I'm at the point where I'm kind of sick of looking at the numbers because I realize the numbers won't matter. And one of your opponents that you might play next week, Dutchtown, took its first week off this past week, and I'm not sure if they're even going to be playing in the playoffs. So it's really hard to gauge everything, I would imagine, going forward. And quite honestly, to Casey's point about not playing this week, might have been a smart thing. Listen, Morgan City and Vanderbilt didn't really know if it was a right or wrong thing to do last night, but since Vanderbilt was going into the playoffs, they said, you know what, let's just not do it and take the chance. So probably, hindsight being 2020, the smart thing to do. And I know that's asking you, you know, to say, hey, I didn't want to play last night, but I just feel like you have to do that to secure your team and being safe, right?
Well, yeah, like I said, that was definitely a thought process. And the other thing that kind of went through my mind when all this stuff was happening on Monday and Tuesday, and it seems to have calmed down a good bit, but, you know, all the rumors were going that, you know, everything was going to shut down after Thanksgiving and all this. You know, I was really concerned for our senior class. You know, I was like, we didn't get to play East St. John. They were getting on the bus and got taken off when we got the phone call that that game wasn't going to happen, you know. And we talked to Coach Brown. You could hear the disappointment in his voice as well as mine, because it was supposed to be such a good ball game, and we were looking to get in to, you know, playing that game and having that challenge of them coming into town and being who they are as a team and us having to play well and seeing if we could compete at that level at home and see where we were going to end up. But I started thinking, you know, if our seniors' last game was 2 weeks ago and they didn't really realize it, it's just another one of those lessons that we always tell kids. You never know when your last snap's going to be, and you got to get the most out of it, and you got to enjoy every chance you get. And this virus is definitely teaching a lot of young kids that. And, you know, it's hard to get them going and keep them focused, and it's been hard on them socially and mentally for sure. But they keep powering through it, and, you know, like I said, we had a great week of practice. Wednesday was probably one of the better days of practice we've had all year, and they seemed to enjoy each other, and they competed hard, and I left the field going, well, if things don't go well and that's the last time they get to put them on, then that's a great thing, because at least they'll have that moment to remember. But, you know, hopefully we'll get these games in and get things rolling. And like you said, you think, okay, is it safe? Or do you want to get those seniors your last chance in their last moment? So it really puts coaches in a predicament between being between two rocks and trying to figure out what's best for their group of young men and keep everybody safe, but give them the opportunities to create their memories.
Very good. Well, look, Coach, we thank you so much for the time. And regardless of who your opponent is in round one, we wish your team the absolute best of luck.
Thank y'all, and we appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be talking again next weekend.
Yeah, can't wait. That is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill joining us, doing a great job, as always, with his Tigers. They're going to be in the postseason. We await their seed, and we await all of the seeds for all the local teams in the area, and we're going to actually talk about that in the next segment. We'll let you know locally who's in, who's out, and, you know, maybe even predict who may be playing whom in the opening round in some cases. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center, Community Sports Institute, on ESPN 100.3. Looking at the numbers out of this break.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
At Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Black Friday sales event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3. We promised you some number crunching. This is all unofficial, folks, because this year is a little bit different than in years past because, as some of our coaches have been telling us, as your opponents play and win or lose games, you could either move up or move down a little bit. Usually you were able to move up, but now you could actually move down a little bit based on, you know, them winning or losing a game. In Class 5A, here's what we know. We know that Destrehan's going to be in. We know Destrehan's going to be home. They're currently number 4. We know Hanville's going to be in at number 18, probably not at home, probably on the road. We don't know if East St. John's going to even play. They're number 17 right now. If they play, they're in, but they've had COVID issues. We don't know if they're going to opt in or opt out. Terrebonne, number 20, in. Thibodeau, number 30, in. HL Bourgeois 37 with a game against Shaw today. Did a little loose math. It's going to be really close if they win that game against Shaw today. Really, really close, especially when you consider that they can maybe finish 33 or 34 and possibly get in with some of the opt-outs. It's going to be really close for the Braves if they get a win today. Stand 5A, top to bottom, there's not a whole lot of difference here, man. 5A is loaded. I expect to see upsets. I expect to see crazy things happen in that bracket. It is absolutely positively wide open. When you have a bracket where East Ascension is the number 21 seed in the bracket, your bracket is loaded.
How about Ouachita Parish being way down there? As a matter of fact, Destrehan may very well have to play Ouachita Parish in the first round, and Ouachita is a traditional power from up north. The interesting thing, you were mentioning HL Bourgeois. If HL Bourgeois wins today and say they finish, say, at 34-ish, quite honestly, Dutchtown is going to have to sit this out, I would imagine, because Dutchtown went on their first week of quarantine this week. They're going to have to do it next week. You mentioned East St. John possibly having to sit it out. So there's a chance if you're 33, 34, 35, you're sitting around and waiting and seeing what's going to happen. That's why I was so curious to know if you do get in and you have a COVID-related problem, do you just forfeit as opposed to giving them early enough warning that you're not going to play and allow some other teams to bump up. So we'll see how it all plays out.
4A, here's what we know. Assumption, currently number 21, they're in. They're going to be on the road in the first round, but they're in. Ellender, man, they're 30th. They're in, but we don't know if they're able to play. They missed their game on Friday. I don't know. That would be heartbreaking for those kids. As far as I know, they don't have any like cases on their campus. They're going to have to figure some things out before the brackets come out. But as it stands now, they would be in. And in number 30, they'd be playing one of the top teams in the state, but they would make the postseason. South Lafourche is currently 34 and would be out. But again, when you got these situations where we don't know what's going to happen with Ellender, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, anybody at this point, because crazy things have been happening all year. It looks like the Tarpons are out, but again, until the brackets come out, all bets are off, because they're right in that area where they could potentially jump back in. South Terrebonne is not going to make the postseason. They're 38. That's too far to get in. Morgan City is not going to get into the postseason. And then when you look at some of our private school teams, Division II, we've got E.D. White and Vanderbilt that are going to be in. E.D. White's currently number 5. Vanderbilt's currently number 6. You kind of do some loose math there. Looks like E.D. White may be matching up with Haynes Academy. Vanderbilt may be matching up with E.D. White may be matching up with St. Michael the Archangel. Vanderbilt may be matching up with Haynes Academy in the opening round there. Both of those teams are in. Both of those teams are also home in the opening round. And then Houma Christian and CCA. I don't know what Houma Christian is going to opt to do. I think everybody in Division III makes it. Last year they opted out because they knew that they'd be heading into a matchup that wouldn't be competitive. And in Division IV, CCA is not going to make the postseason. But Stan, looking at this all, I got to tell you, just looking at some of the teams here and some of these brackets, I think this is going to be a year where usually, like, this power ranking system was created for a 10-game season where everybody plays the same number of games, and it's all apples to apples for everybody. But this year, when you got one team that played 4 games and one team that played 8 games and one team that, had a very difficult schedule and the other team it didn't, and like you've got some teams that are seeded in the 20s or in the teens that could legitimately make the dome in some instances, I got a feeling it's going to be awfully tough to pick some of these brackets whenever they're finally released tomorrow.
It's not obviously ever going to be a good situation with what went on this past year. But you have a team in, say, Woodlawn of Baton Rouge who only played 4 games and they finished 2-2, and they're going to host in the first round in 5A football. Think about that. Let me tell you what else a lot of people don't realize, especially if you're from South Lafourche. If South Terrebonne plays last night against Ellender and beats Ellender, no matter what South Lafourche did last night, in all probability, it knocks Ellender out and puts South Lafourche in. Because what happens is it basically reverses the role of South Lafourche and Ellender in that situation. So that game not being played certainly affected South Lafourche last night. It's when you really start looking at it, you kind of chuckle because you can't help but chuckle a little bit. Now, I will say this about division football. In Division II, where E.D. White and Vanderbilt are, it is, I've never seen it like this, it is a bracket that is going to be the haves and the have-nots. The 8 teams at the top are just superior to the 8 teams at the bottom. I don't think E.D. White and Vanderbilt are going to have much problem. Their biggest opponent this week is going to be COVID. It's not going to be the team they're going to have to play. Because if Vanderbilt takes on Haynes, they're going to be a 40-point favorite over Haynes. And if E.D. White takes on St. Michael this year, who has struggled immensely, I think their only 2 wins of the year are against winless teams, Terra and Estruma. I just think that we're not going to see competitiveness in Division II until the second round. So it becomes mind-boggling, and then we don't even know who's opting out yet. So that's the big question there. If I'm South Lafourche sitting at 34, I'm not picking up equipment yet because you just don't know what's going to happen.
No doubt about that. And I got a trivia question for you, Stan. I was researching this last night. John Curtis lost last night. They finished the regular season 4-4. When was the last time, Mr. Stan Gravois, that John Curtis did not finish a regular season above 500?
I'm going to go with, boy, this is totally a guess, 1972.
You're actually really close. It's 1976 is the answer. I'm told the Patriots that year were 3-3-3. So three
wow.
wins, three losses, three ties in that season for Curtis, who is 4-4. And that just goes to show you talk about these things being wide open. I know Curtis has lost a couple of close games. They're number 7 in Division One. Does anybody really think that John Curtis is ranked number 7 in anything?
Listen,
I think that they're going to be a tough out in that bracket.
I don't think Evangel maybe has won a game, right? But I still don't want to play Evangel in the first round. There are just those teams, you know, that you don't want to play. And because of the COVID situation, you have, again, a Woodlawn, a Baton Rouge that's going to be playing at home, yet you have, say, a Ouachita Parish, which is going to be playing, you know, on the road. Now they're going to have to come maybe all the way into Destrehan, but I still don't want to play them in the first round. So it'll be interesting. There are going to be, in my mind, there are going to be no huge upsets in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. We've got four brackets that have 1 through 32 in Louisiana. That's 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A. Be it an upset, be it COVID making a team unexpectedly opt out. How many teams seeded 28 through 32 are going to advance and make it to the second round?
I would say one in each bracket.
Okay.
You look at it, I would say that, you know, you have five brackets in classification, so maybe five teams there, and then you have four teams in the division bracket, so maybe four teams there. Division One is always interesting because you might have a St. Aug who is down there low in the bracket. And I realize they don't go all the way to 32, but I'm just talking about the back end of that bracket.
Sure.
I just think some teams might sneak in. It's still a long shot, don't get me wrong. And it is the best system that they could possibly have in my mind this year. I don't know how you do it different unless you just do some kind of eye candy chart, and that would be really non-objective because the different parts of the state are going to all pull for what they think is the best football in their area. So it's the best way we could do it. I think maybe one in each classification and one in each division is going to be an eye-opener for us when we pick up the paper or listen in to us on Saturday morning next week.
Sign me up for the chaos. I can't wait to see it. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, South Lafourche football coach B.J. Young will be on the line to talk about the Tarpon season. And then after Coach Young, we're going to have a Saints segment, and then we'll make our picks. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
This is it. Today is the last day for Ramses to pay the taxes on every item you purchase up to $4,000.
And if you buy a diamond and a ring, we'll count that as two separate items.
So that you double your tax savings.
Then we'll combine them into one magnificent new ring for you.
Welcome to Ramses,
where you get fantastic prices and fabulous financing.
And we never ask you to choose between them.
What do you mean?
Some jewelry stores will give you a discounted price or long-term financing.
Is the discounted price as good as the Ramses price?
Of course not. Not even close.
What happens if they want long-term financing?
Then they have to pay full retail.
No.
At Ramses, we give you a magical price.
And offer you long-term financing.
With approved credit. But today is the last day for us to do all that and pay all your taxes for you.
If someone says they can give you a better deal,
don't believe one word of it.
My sister and I were born in New Orleans.
We're not going to let you down.
Ramses Diamond Jewelers is the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Go
Gobble, gobble, gobble. It's fall savings time at Barker Kia, which means we're serving up some delicious deals on some of the hottest models around. You can drive home in the new 2020 Kia Sportage LX and take $5,000 off the MSRP. Or get into a new 2020 Kia Soul LX with Apple CarPlay and pay just $69.99. Or how about a new 2020 Kia Forte LXS for only $69.95. Please come check out the all-new Kia K5, Seltos, and the hottest SUV on the market, Telluride. And don't forget the Stinger. Kia models with award-winning styles and tech. Plus, they all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And all for the prices that will have our competition asking for the recipe. So come save big during the fall savings time sales event at Barker Kia and Homer. Or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people. Remember, that's strength and laughter.
Warranty is limited. Powertrain warranty. See Kia.com. Retailer for details. Starting number 2018, 241. MSRP, 25640. 2225 dealer discount. 2750. Kia Customer Care. Starting number 2018, 099. MSRP, 2038. 885 dealer discount. 2500. Kia Customer Care. Starting number 2018, 036. MSRP, 2685. 1940 dealer discount. 1750. Kia Customer Care. Include CT&L. See dealer for details. Offer ends 11/30/20.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma is so much more than shipping, especially during this holiday season. They offer a wide range of products and services to assist small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banner shredding, faxing, and more. They're located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
The final coach of the day on the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, is South Lafourche football coach B.J. Young, was on the line. Coach Young, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are y'all?
Pretty good, pretty good. Tough night for your ball club last night. Just couldn't quite get over the hump a couple of times. Got close, couldn't punch it in. Talk about the way your team played against a Thibodeau opponent last night.
Yeah, man, look, I think Thibodeau took it to us from start to finish. I thought they were they came ready to play, and man, they looked hungry, you know. And I thought they were more physical than us from start to stop, and they have more energy, you know. With that being said, you know, I think our kids didn't quit. You know, we played hard, and you know we kind of on the outside looking in right now. Need a little bit of help, but I think our kids deserve another chance to play. And so I hope it works out.
Coach, I don't know quite how to, like, I feel like I need to apologize to you for everything that's happened to your team this year. It's like, I've never seen anything like it. I've corresponded with Casey on this, saying I've seen coaches and teams and programs that have had stretches of bad luck, but I've not quite seen it to the extent that I've seen with South Lafourche this year. And then last night, as I'm listening to the broadcast, and I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think I heard Brian mention that you guys sort of just got back on the practice field in full force this past Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yeah, man. Look, we it's been crazy. We faced a lot of adversity, there's no doubt, and you know, our kids responded in the best way that I could have wished for, and they're a resilient bunch, but. Yeah, man, you know, from playing on Saturdays and Sundays, and I think that was our second time to have our whole crew together, you know, with our kids out because of contact tracing and stuff like that. And, you know, you get them back, and your first day of practice, you can come back is on a Wednesday, you know. And, you know, I contemplated asking Coach Dugas if we can play on Saturday, which I'm sure he wouldn't have minded because he came to us. We were supposed to go to them, and he helped us for our senior night. But, you know, our kids didn't get to play many Friday nights. You know, I think we had two, and one of them was Vanderbilt Catholic, and they got delayed because of bad weather. So our kids never had a regular Friday night except for the Central Lafourche game. So we were playing it on Friday night. You know, we did a two-a-day on Wednesday, but it ain't like you can go out there and grind for each session 2.5 hours. You know, you got 3 hours in a day, and you can't exceed that. So, you know, you got to take care of what you got to take care of, and you get in what you can get in that little bit time allowed. So, but man, I'm not making excuses for us or anybody. Coach Dugan and his staff and that team came out last night, and they took it to us, man. And that's just the God's honest truth.
Coach, I know that if you guys do not make the playoffs, there's an opportunity to perhaps play a bowl game. Can you give us any clues on if you guys would do that and maybe possible opponents or anything that you could share with us?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last night as a staff. Man, I think we left the fields at 3 in the morning looking at every option of teams that we thought. And we going back looking a week, 2 weeks ago to see if they played, because they didn't play this week. They got canceled. To see who they played, could they have COVID-related issues? And if they did, would they be out of the playoffs so we can get in? You know, man, it's sad, man, because it comes down to that, you know. And but we were looking at every option. We talked about a bowl game, you know. We would try to get up. If it don't work in the playoffs, Casey, we're going to try to get a bowl game for next Friday. My thought behind it. We got kids on our team like Braxton Petrie, for example, who's one of the better kids on the team as far as a kid. You know, I love him to death. He works his butt off. He's a great football player. He's been in the program for 4 years, and that kid has never had COVID, but he sat by a kid in class, and he's only played, I think, 3 games. You know, for just that, I think that kid deserves another chance to get out there and play. So kind of our thought behind it as a staff is, if we don't get in, we're going to take a trip, you know, take some charter buses and go somewhere and try to play. Me personally, I think it's going to be kind of tough to get a game, because I think coaches at this point are just, you know, some of them might be losing kids to basketball, and then some of them might just be, you know, happy that they got what they got in, you know, and not trying to risk their kids anymore. And So I don't know, but we're going to try our hardest if it doesn't work out in the playoffs to try to get a game. And, guys, I don't have coronavirus. I'm hoarse. I was yelling a lot last night.
You mentioned Braxton and his situation of never being COVID positive and only getting that limited number of games in. And I know this has to be just a personal opinion, but was there a way to do that for those type kids? I know – you know, I heard a story of a kid from Central Lafourche who actually qualified for the cross-country meet, and he couldn't go because, obviously, the school and contact tracing. But he tested, and he tested pretty regular, and he was negative. Could they have done this any better way, or it's probably the best you could do in this circumstance?
Yeah, you know, my thing was, I thought you could have did something to where maybe – you know, I mean, the NFL's doing it, college football does it, and that's at the highest level. You know, so there's a lot of money on the line, and the same safety factors, I think. And, you know, they got stuff in place to where you can get tested after 5 days or 7 days or whatever it is. Or if you come back, I know the NFL thing is, if you come back with 2 negative tests, you can come back. I think we could have done something like that, but, you know, man, those guys who make those decisions do a lot more homework than I'm doing on it. You know, I make decisions like that kind of based off emotion, because I know how much it means to the kids. And so, you know, I trust in the decisions that were made. And, man, look, it was even across the board throughout the state. But, you know, it hurts me for them kids that missed like that. And there's no chance of them coming back, even with, like, 2 negative tests. Or, you know, and I've had guys who are close to the program call me and offer – you know, like, Coach, man, we'll do whatever it would take to help. If you know, if money's the issue for the kids or whatever, you know, we can help them get tested. But it didn't matter. You know, it was how it was. And, you know, I said, man, we're blessed. We, a few months ago, we didn't know if we would get to play a single game. And, you know, we got to play. That was our 6-1. And, you know, losing 2 hurts us. You know, losing 2 games hurts us. But, you know, it is what it is. And, we had a chance last night to control our own fate, and we didn't do it, you know. So that's that.
Coach, I'm up in the press box last night, and it's late in the game, and, you know, I'm rooting for you guys to win, and I'm kind of pouting because things are not going our way. And then you guys throw a pass to Jaren Pierce, and I immediately started to cry. It was an unbelievable scene. Thank you so much for doing that, or allowing that to happen. And, you know, I don't care if you guys make the playoffs or not. It'd be great if you do. If you don't, that's okay, too, because last night you guys showed high school sports about more than wins and losses. That was awesome, man.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm getting choked up right now just thinking about it because, you know, that's a kid who he deserves that because that kid shows up every day and he busts his butt. And, man, you talk about somebody that bleeds blue. You know, that's Tom Purse. So, I'm happy it worked out, and, you know, he deserves all of that.
And listen, I didn't even know the background. I actually had to talk to Casey about that a little bit late last night. Yeah, I appreciate that. That as an ex-coach for years, that means more to me than anything else. So, again, kudos for allowing that to happen last night. I know that was a huge thing. You mentioned it too. You said there are two games you didn't get to play. The fact is that you would have probably been a favorite in both of those games. Not probably. You would have been a favorite in both of those games. And you win those two games and you're in. I'm going to ask a question that is probably the stupidest, craziest question I've ever asked. With everything that has happened to you at South Lafourche, you know, you're a Hornville guy. Can you assess what your feelings are of being there, to being a Tarpon after this first year? Because maybe emotional-wise, it's maybe a little stronger than it would have been if this was just a regular year. So your assessment of your time there in your first football season.
Yeah, man, yeah, I can't say enough about the group of guys that I work on a daily basis, or as much as we're allowed to get in there. You know, the coach that on our staff, man, that's great guys, you know, and they care a lot about the school and this community. And then we brought Coach Bruce on in, the defense coordinator, who I think has done a phenomenal job. And he works his butt off, and the kids love him. My hats off to our guys on that coaching staff. They're unbelievable, and they do anything I ask them to do. And you can't say enough about our kids. You know, we got a good group. I've been a lot of places, and man, those kids that I've been around in a lot of places are great. You know, and we touch base often. You know, a lot of big guys. I know they're busy. We had a receiver. He's playing at Kansas now, and he'll text me, you know, out the blue once a month. Coach, what's up, man? You build relationships with kids, man, over the years, and this group we had this year is a special group. And, you know, I'm fortunate to get to coach a lot of those kids. And then, you know, it's a great group. And then our community has been behind us. You know, you don't know when we're playing, what time we're playing, if we're going to play. And they show up. You know, they show up. And, you know, we fell behind in some games. And they stuck by us. You know, I told our coaches, them they don't leave. You know, they never believe. They believe to the very last to the last horn blows, and so they with us the whole way. And man, it's just great to be a part of it.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. I don't know if you guys are gonna have a game next week or not, but regardless, thanks for always spending your Saturday mornings with us, my man.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate all y'all do.
Yes, sir. That is BJ Young with South Lafourche joining us here on the Sports Corner. Stan, I got to tell you, that was a little bit of magic at the end of the game, getting Jaren involved. And I don't know if the Tarpons are going to make the postseason or not. I don't know if they're going to play a bowl game or not. But I do know this. I know that South Lafourche last fall was in an interesting situation where they were going through a coaching search and didn't have a whole lot of people who applied. But one guy who did apply was BJ Young. And at a time where a lot of folks were saying, well, man, well, we didn't have a whole lot of people apply for this job. Maybe we need to reopen it. And everybody was concerned and said, no, man, we're comfortable with this Coach Young guy. And he has done a nice job. The kids believe in him. They were fairly young. They had some seniors, don't get me wrong, but they were fairly young. You bring your quarterback back. You bring a bunch of your receivers back, a bunch of your linemen back. Next year is going to be a pretty good year down the bye, and they've got a good guy leading that program, good at the core and a good football coach as well.
Well, obviously, the way he speaks with us on Saturday mornings, you can tell he's got that it factor. But I sort of lean on all of the professionals in our area, the other coaches who speak so highly of him. Coach Rod, who goes around and sees all of these guys all the time.
speaks highly of them. So, yeah, I think the Tarpons have the right guy in place. The one thing I wanted to add to everything, too, is, and listen, I say this totally tongue-in-cheek. So, Brian, if you're out there listening, it's tongue-in-cheek. His only downfall is he's got to work with that darn athletic director over at South LaPouche. Everything else is pretty good.
No doubt about that. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we'll do a segment that doggone athletic director is going to be interested in. He's a big Saints fan. We're going to talk about the Saints quarterback situation with a big game against the Falcons looming. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
At Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Houma, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Black Friday sales event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin and back by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma is so much more than shipping, especially during this holiday season. They offer a wide range of products and services to assist small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banner shredding, faxing, and more. They're located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of an audible that we've got to make. We're actually be wrapping up today's show a little bit early, around 10:50-ish or so. So very quickly, we're going to get the guys' thoughts on the Saints making the decision to start Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. Then we'll dive into our pick'em segment. Stan, what were your thoughts? I was a little confused by this. I talked about this with Brian yesterday before the game. They gave Taysom Hill the money, and they've talked him up, saying he's the next Steve Young, this, that, and the other. No one really believed it. But maybe there's more to this. They're giving him the opportunity to start tomorrow against Atlanta.
I guess because he's been around and because Jameis Winston has not had the experience. Listen, I'm just going to trust that Sean Payton's doing what he thinks best. I hope that the passing efficiency is good with Taysom Hill. Remains to be seen. And I was surprised. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, I was surprised. I thought it would be Jameis Winston. But after it's now settled in, I'm just going to go with what Sean Payton thinks is best.
Willie, I know you're eager to chime in on this topic. What are your thoughts as the Saints make the move and start Taysom Hill over Jameis?
I'm going to go with what Stan said. Like, you got to trust Sean Payton making the right decision. But if I had to be, if I was the head coach, I mean, he threw for 5,000 yards last year behind a mediocre offensive line. I mean, he's the number one pick. He threw 30 interceptions. Let's not forget that. But, I mean, he's the more established quarterback. Like, Taysom Hill is 30 and hasn't even thrown 30 passes. So, I mean, you got to go with Jameis. But like Stan said, you got to trust what Sean Payton knows what he's doing. So,
I had a friend this week who said this, Casey, just real quick. He said Jameis Winston is going to throw the ball all night long and never throw an incompletion. The problem is you don't know what jersey is going to catch it.
So. right.
So the question I'm going to ask you guys is, do you guys actually believe any of this mumbo-jumbo that Hill's going to get the majority of the reps? Or do you think that Sean Payton is just playing us for a fiddle here?
I think so.
Go ahead, Willie.
I think that Hill will get most of the reps because, like Stan said, he's been around longer. I haven't seen him throw enough passes to be like, okay, yeah, then he's going to get the job done. That's what scares me because he hasn't – I couldn't evaluate him. All I seen him do is run and catch passes. I never seen him throw enough.
Well, if he plays that Swiss Army knife early in this game every down, he won't be around at the end of
right.
the game because he's going to get bumped up and bruised up pretty quick. So I do think we're going to see Jameis Winston more than we probably thought we were going to see him.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on that. And I don't know, Willie, is Truck around? Are you making picks for Truck today? How are we doing this?
I told him that I had him. I got it. I got you.
Also, look, dude, Truck is in the lead by one game over both Stan and I. If you mess this up, this may be your last time producing on Saturday. We start with Indiana and Ohio State today. Ohio State is a 20-point favorite. This is actually a matchup of two teams in the top 10. Stan, do you think Indiana could pull the big upset, or will the Mighty Buckeyes walk away with this one?
Ultimately, my pick is going to be with my head. My heart says Indiana. But my head says Ohio State, so let's go Ohio State.
Wilbert?
Ohio State, of course. I'm going to Ohio State.
Okay, I agree with you guys. It's going to be a sweep. We're going to go Ohio State in this one. Wisconsin traveling to take on Northwestern. Northwestern's pretty good. They're 4-0. They're number 19 in the country. Wisconsin's number 10 in the country. Going on the road, cold weather. Wisconsin's a touchdown favorite. Mr. Gravois, what say you?
I rode with Northwestern last week, but I can't this week. I think Wisconsin's one of the better teams in the country. I think Wisconsin wins it fairly easy.
Yeah, I got Wisconsin in that game as well.
It's a sweep. We're going to go Wisconsin as well. An SEC game today. Tennessee, who was supposed to be the big bad dog in the East, they've kind of fallen off of a cliff here, traveling to take on Auburn, who's been hit or miss. Some weeks they're great when they crush LSU. Some weeks they're awful when they lose to South Carolina. Stan, what Auburn are we going to get today?
It's not about Auburn for me in this one. I just never drank the Kool-Aid with Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is there yet. Mm-mm. So I'm going to go Auburn, especially since they're playing at home. I realize there's not going to be a lot of fans. But, again, you still have to do all of the travel plans, and we're all creatures of habit, and I don't think Tennessee is going to be ready for this game.
Yeah, I was watching Tennessee the last couple of weeks. I don't want to feel like I'm piggybacking off of Stan, but I've just been – me knowing football, I don't think Tennessee is ready for this game. I'm going to Auburn.
No, it is what it is. I got to go with you guys as well. So a couple of games now that we've all picked the same thing. Let's try to mix it up a little bit here. Liberty, Hugh Freeze, they're 21 in the country. They're 8-0. They're traveling to take on NC State, who's 5-3. NC State's actually favored by 4 points in this game. Can Hugh Freeze pull it off again a couple weeks off of beating Virginia Tech on the road?
I saw Liberty play UL last year, UL Lafayette, and got crushed by UL. I just can't believe Liberty is that good? And I know North Carolina State sees it coming. It's not like they're going to sneak up on the Wolfpack. So I'm going to go North Carolina State.
Okay, Stan, you finally – I'm going to go Liberty because, I mean, sorry, Mr. Truck, I'm a North Carolina guy and NC State's a rival, so I'm going Liberty.
I see. I saw Liberty against Virginia Tech. Their offense is really good. South Carolina needs to be calling Hugh Freeze right now. Give me Liberty in this ball game. I think they'll get it done. In a matchup between rivals, we've got Oklahoma State and we've got Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a touchdown favorite against an Oklahoma State team who, frankly, is ranked higher than them at number 14 to Oklahoma's number 18. Gentlemen, Sooners and Cowboys, who you got?
You know, what's interesting, Casey, is an hour ago I would have picked Oklahoma State, but I'm sitting here with my sound down on my monitor on my screen, and I'm watching game day, and I'm seeing all the statistics come up related to this game, and I've totally switched. It's all Oklahoma now. When you see that Oklahoma State has the least amount of gains, 20 or 20-plus yards, like in the NCAA, it's kind of mind-boggling. So, yeah, I'm going Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's got something to prove after two losses early in the year.
I'm going to go State. I don't know. I think I seen them play a couple. I'm not gonna say I watched a lot of. I seen them play a couple games and they look pretty good. So I'm gonna go State.
Spencer Rattler has a big day. The Mullet Man goes down. I'm going Oklahoma over Oklahoma State today in the rivalry matchup.
Quick,
shift gears. Yes.
Real quick, Casey. I certainly don't know whatever happened to Tay Martin. Before we sure don't see him playing anymore at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's a shame. I thought he was going to go there and make a big impact. He hardly sees the field. We go to the NFL now. We have the Titans taking on the Ravens, two teams that love to run the ball. This is a game that will be over by 2:30 with the way those teams run the ball. The Ravens are a four-point favorite against the Tennessee Titans tomorrow. Both teams are 6-3 on the season.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ravens. Just because they have to sort of keep pace with the Steelers and they know it and they'll be a little bit more focused maybe. Both teams are sort of slumping right now, but I'll go Ravens.
And where are they playing at?
In Baltimore, Willie.
Oh. I mean, I'm going to go Tennessee because Lamar Jackson is kind of on a downward spiral right now. So, and I think it's like going to come down to the quarterbacks. And I think, I don't know, two years ago I wouldn't be saying this, but I think Tannehill – can make more plays than Jackson.
This is tough. I'll go Ravens reluctantly because I think that they have a better defense than Tennessee does. I'll go Ravens, but I can see this is a very tough one. Another tough game. We've got the Packers traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Colts are 6-3, fresh off of a win. Green Bay been a little hit or miss at times. They're 7-2. The Colts are actually a 2-point favorite at home in this game.
Davante Adams all day long, Packers.
If the Colts can run the ball, because the Packers have a horrible run defense, if the Colts can run the ball. But like Stan said, Davante Adams, I'm going Packers.
Yeah, the Colts are 6-3, but they beat bad teams, lose to good teams. I'm going Green Bay in this one. I think that they're going to go on the road and get the win. In an NFC game that a lot of folks are going to be paying very close attention to, that's actually a Monday night game. We've got the Rams traveling to Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady's Buccaneers. The Rams are 6-3. The Bucs are 7-3. Tampa Bay is a 4-point favorite in this game, gentlemen.
I'm going to go Rams. It's probably a little bit more heart than head, but it's close enough that I'll go Rams.
Same. I'm going to go Rams because, I mean, the Bucks. I mean, as the NFC South, we need the NFC South with Drew Brees out. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with the Rams.
So, here's the thing. I was going to pick the Rams, but because you guys picked the Rams, every time we all pick the same thing, it doesn't go our way. I had this big elaborate speech of, oh, Tom Brady doesn't like a pass rush. Aaron Donald's going to be in his face, this, that, and the other.
Yep.
Then you guys agree with me, so I'm going to have to go with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is going to defend their home field and get the win on Monday night, even though I don't actually believe that's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to be traveling to Las Vegas to take on a really quietly good Raiders team. Let's see the line for this one. The Chiefs are this is actually a large spread, 8.5-point favorite, despite being on the road against a 6-3 opponent.
I don't like the points, but I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm just amazed by that offense, man, and they have it everywhere. So I think whether they give up a lot of points or not, the offense is going to get it done for the Chiefs, and they win.
Yeah, like, I don't know if the saying lightning doesn't strike twice or whatever, but, like, they're not beating the Raiders they're not sweeping the Chiefs, so I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chiefs are going to take care of business in that one. The two games of local interest, including one that kicks off in 10 minutes. We've got an awful LSU football team coming off of a couple of bye weeks here trying to get right against Arkansas, an Arkansas team that could barely even play today because they're right up against the collar of the COVID thresholds. LSU went from a 3-point underdog to a 2-point favorite because of some of those Arkansas departures. Sam, we've not seen LSU in a while. What are you expecting from Coach Ogeron, the Tigers, today in 10 minutes?
Well, because of COVID, I don't know how we even pick this one because I don't know who's going to be playing for Arkansas. But just at face value, at what we thought it was going to be earlier in the week, I sort of have to go Arkansas. And I hope LSU is, like, mad at all of us LSU fans saying, we're going to show you, and I hope they get it all together. But as it stands, I don't know how they stop Arkansas. So I'll say Arkansas.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chuck. I don't know if you're an LSU fan or not, but like Stan said, the LSU going to be mad at the fans. Well, I'm not a fan. So I'm going to Arkansas.
Willie, this is a true story. Mr. Truck picked Mississippi State to beat LSU the first game of the season. That's part of the reason why he has a lead on all of us right now, is he doesn't pick LSU every week like Stan and I. So, man, here's the thing. I think LSU's going to play better today, but Arkansas does one thing that LSU does not, and that's play hard. When it's going to be a close competitive game, I'm going to go with the team that actually, you know, kind of gives a damn over the team that doesn't seem to. So I'm going to go Arkansas to get the win in this one at home. The Saints are going to be taking on the Atlanta Falcons, and there's so much unknown about this matchup. We don't know what Taysom Hill is going to look like. It is in the dome. The Saints started the week as an 8-point favorite, but then when the news came out that Drew Brees was out, it dropped down to a 3.5-point favorite for New Orleans. Gentlemen, what do we expect tomorrow from the Saints and the Falcons' big-time rivalry matchup, a game that Atlanta always seems to play over their expectations in? What do you expect tomorrow?
I just think Atlanta has enough offensive weapons to score points against the Saints' defense, which has been suspect from time to time, although they're getting better. And then on the offensive side of it, I don't have enough confidence in the quarterback situation as it stands right now. Although I think they can score, I don't know that they can score enough. So I say Atlanta in a tight one.
That's one team that always play us close. No matter what our records are, like, it's going to be a dogfight. But I never, mark my words, I never bet against the Saints. So I'm going with the Saints.
I don't think Matt Ryan can move at all. And after watching the Saints get to Tom Brady, I think they're going to beat up Matt Ryan. I don't think Taysom Hill's going to have to score a lot of points in this game. Give me the Saints in a defensive struggle. I know you guys didn't expect to hear me say that. Mm. I think the Saints are going to win a fairly low-scoring game and defend their home field against Atlanta tomorrow. We want to thank our coaches for joining us. We want to congratulate all the coaches who are going to make the postseason. Wish the best of luck to all those guys who are going to make the postseason in their first-round matchup. Thanks to Stan. Thanks to Willie. Thanks to everybody for listening. We're going to sign off here. Allow everybody to get a little extra time, settle in, go watch the Tigers. It's been the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great and blessed weekend, everybody. God bless.